joined with my co-host Jenna. What up, Jenna? How you doing?
Hello there. Good. How are you?
Good. The sun is almost shining. I feel like the weather in New York is almost turning to that where it's not like it's almost spring is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
We have been checking the weather incessantly for New York, and it's not looking so promising for us. The temperature is fine, but there is some rain, and we made fun of the boys. They were just in Portland for the weekend. It rained every single day, and we're like, losers.
Yeah.
And now we're like, shit.
Yeah. Do you know what I've been doing? Because Jenna's coming to stay at my apartment while I'm not here. I put on these earrings today, and I was looking at the rest of my jewelry, and I was thinking, what do I have to hide for when Jenna's here? So that she doesn't wear it.
I have all my own gold. It's not the season for Tim's. So I think we're good.
There was one time where Jenna came to my apartment, wore my Tim's, didn't tell me. And I am such a crazy investigator that they were like in the corner of a picture. I think there was like a not even a dime size. They were like in the reflection of a mirror in a picture. And I was like, oh my God, she's wearing my Tim's at a bar or something. So anyhow, but I was thinking there are other options for jackets and things if you guys need, my closet still has my winter clothes. Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? Okay. There's so much pop culture. We have so much Bravo to talk about today that I hope we can fit it in to our time because damn.
I know. There is quite a bit. Let's just jump right into the pop culture and get this part out of the way.
Yeah.
It was obviously...
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay, I think the two big things are the Tom Brady roast. Did you watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't watch, but I did... I watched Nikki Glaser's portion of it, and she murdered. She killed.
She was the MVP of... the whole thing. I think there's even been commentary about it online. Like, she had Kevin Hart like bent over, so, like cracking up so many times. And she was the only one to get a standing ovation. And to see, which like actually gave me like full body chills watching it. I was like, damn, girl. And the way that she knows how to take a joke, like you look at her. So like, you know, it's a roast. So like they're roasting everyone. And you look at some of these, like, you know, older white men, and, you know, I don't want to totally generalize and just like throw all older white men into this like terrible box,
but let's,
yeah. And for the girls, you know, and they were so like, they weren't always laughing, or there was like some faces where they felt like, I was like, are you annoyed by this? You are at a roast. This is like what this is. And the jokes that were coming at Nikki Glaser about her, like, being a whore, being too thin, like, and she was taking it, like, yeah, let's fucking go. And I was like, yes, like, not only did you just, you were the MVP of this entire thing, but you took the jokes better than anyone else. I would say her and Kevin Hart, they were, like, the ones that, he was the host of it. Those were the two that really were the standout stars. The only other thing I would mention about it, not the only other thing. Kim Kardashian got booed, but Netflix cut it from.
Why? Because Kris Kardashian went in and told them to cut it. It's so absurd. Also, I just want to say shout out to Nikki Glaser, who was the only female roaster comedian who was up there. It's so unfair that they have a whole list of female comedians to choose from. Yes, they chose the top dog, Nikki Glaser, who is the queen of roasting, but they could have been a little more diverse and throwing another woman up there. Like, there needs to be more opportunities for women in comedy. Now I'm off my soapbox. But
no, I think why the heck would... That's such a good point. Like, it was
something
like,
that.
It's, yeah, where's Hannah Burner when you need her?
I mean, Hannah Burner, love Hannah Burner, but there have been so many female comedians before Hannah Burner that could get up there and could kill some of those other folks up there. And it's just so unfair that all the comedians up there were men. You know that, like, I'm in the comedy world, I'm a sketch comic, and like, it's something you see all the time. Whenever you go to a lineup, the lineup is always like four guys, one woman. It's like, guys, it's, you're not at a loss for female comedians. You're just not giving them the time. Anywho, and
I feel like a lot of times, like, women are funnier. Like, our lived experience is just so much more of a fucking joke. So it's like
100%. Like,
so much material. Yeah, we have so much material to pull from. Like, me getting lasered yesterday. I can't wear deodorant right now. There's a whole thing about just that.
It also makes me so happy that out of all of the comedians, she's the one that killed and got the standing ovation, because it says a lot. It just gives a lot of credibility to female comedians. Yeah. And so shout out to Nikki Glaser, because she deserves it. And hopefully it'll give more opportunities for female comedians out there who are trying to get the recognition they deserve.
Preach.
Yeah. Okay. Like, and let's be honest, they could have given that space for Kim Kardashian to an actual comedian.
100%. Anywho. Speaking of, though, so yeah. Back to Kim. So this, her being booed going up, what do you think that's about? Because,
well, so everything I saw was it like the crowd was like a football crowd and Taylor fans. That's what I saw on my like baby feeds. That,
okay, that's interesting. So I don't know. Another thing that brings up, so the new season of the Kardashians is coming up, right? I think it's like May 20, like very soon, and I haven't seen that much or heard that much, and it doesn't seem like there's this like excitement that you normally hear people kind of talking about. And then I find myself really on opposing ends with the Kardashians, which I've never really been. And then I see her at the Met Gala in another corset, and it really ticked me off. I don't know what, it's like, we get it. You are thin. You are not eating before the Met to fit into these things. Like, this is, not only have you done this look or some version of it time and time again, trying, and like, did you see her waist? It was like, literally, like, it looked weird.
The size and of my thigh.
I just think it's, I don't know. I have a really bad taste in my mouth. I'm super curious if this is a me thing, or is there some sort of like, real movement sort of pulling away from the Kardashians?
Well, what so do you their think? their trailer for the season dropped yesterday,
and I still haven't even seen it, which is crazy,
which
for
is
me.
Wild for you. Yeah. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it almost feels like they, like their appeal feels like it's, I'm kind of like, I don't know how to say it another way, but like, I'm over them on my screens. Mm-hmm. I'm over them in my face. I'm over, it's like we were so inundated with them that it feels good to have the break. And agreed. I think it's with anything that happens in pop culture, there's the rise. And then it's like they're rising. And now they're like kind of plateauing. And, you know, in 10 years, are we going to care so much about if Kim Kardashian is going to the Met Gala? I don't know.
I didn't even care this year.
Me neither. Not to mention, do we want to talk about the sweater that she wore?
Oh, and then over, she said,
which
it was
obviously
her...
was something.
So then in an interview, she said, oh, my boyfriend's sweater, like, or whatever. And even that little tidbit, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, if she dropped the boyfriend line, headlines, page six, like wherever you could see a headline, it would be on there. I haven't even seen anyone pick it up. I was like, am I the only one that caught this?
It's honestly, since Pete Davidson, everyone's like, okay, what are we doing for the fame? I'm kind of, yeah, I feel like I'm over the Kardashian hubbub. I feel like there was a good 10 years of it. And, you know, it's kind of is what it is.
I also kind of wonder, and maybe I'm thinking about it too deep because I was a little like triggered by her Met Gala outfit. Mm. Have we evolved out of this appearance
no.
thing? Okay. I guess maybe I, maybe,
I
am at a point with it right now that I, looking at her outfit, like, my immediate thought was, this is really unhealthy for anyone to see. And I think ever since sort of I think I was having these feelings already. And then remember when I was talking, not to bring it back to Taylor, but like that article about how she's dressed and all her appearance and stuff is very specific so that it never feels like so out of reach. I kind of just like really like that. And seeing these photos of the Kardashians, especially like Kim and Khloe, when they're like in the bikini ones and stuff, I'm just like, this, if I was a young girl scrolling on my phone, I would feel a certain way, and it's not in a good way.
I think what you're saying, I think also like as you get older as a person, your ideas of what is healthy, what isn't changes. Yeah. I also think what's happening now that we didn't have growing up as kids is the idea of beauty is changing, and it's not about the stick figures. Yeah. You know, we saw people of all different sizes on the red carpet more so than we have in other years. And even some of our favorite celebrities' bodies look different than what they did when we were growing up. And I think for whatever reason, Kim keeps trying to pull together this like Marilyn Monroe cinched waist, you know, trying to feed everyone this idea of what beauty is. And their standards for beauty are just so outdated. Yeah. And I think what's happening is like the younger generation's coming in and they're seeing, you know, these new folks. I should say I broke into the red carpet. I'm just kidding. I wasn't at the red carpet. I went to me and my friend walked up to the carpet to get a view of the Met. It was actually ridiculous. We lied to a cop, said we had a reservation at some restaurant that was blocked off. Yeah, we snuck in fast. And we're like, we have a reservation at that restaurant right there. We didn't. And then we pretended like we were on the phone, walked up. They had everything barricaded at Madison, which they usually don't. But because there was word that protesters were going to come, the Palestine protesters from Columbia were going to come down, which they did. And so we got up and we could see into the carpet and hearing. So we were surrounded. It was like, any person who loves pop culture, it's your dream, because we were just surrounded by a bunch of people who love pop culture. Mm. However, they were probably 20 years younger than me. So the people that they were screaming at and getting excited about on the red carpet, I had to go back and once I got home, like Google who they were. But when I was looking at like who they were, it's just people I didn't know who looked totally different than the people that we looked like. Their bodies were different. Their styles were different. I don't think the young girls that I was standing with, I really don't think they were going to sit there and scream when Kim Kardashian came up.
Hmm. Also, so hopefully. As this is like happening, as we're talking about it too, I was just thinking, I was like, this might be a me thing. Like I might be having some body stuff that I'm currently dealing with and that now like that I'm like a little triggered by that waist situation.
Honestly, at the Met Gala last year, we had the same conversation. You had the same conversation about Kim Kardashian.
I should talk to someone.
I don't think you should talk. I think it's very interesting that like you're outgrowing the idea of what you think beauty is, and good. Let's do that. Yeah, screw that shit.
Screw that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. All right. Next year, I'm going to try to get closer. It was a lot of fun.
There were a few rumors on Demois that I guess didn't come to fruition, huh? Like Hailey Bieber announcing her pregnancy. Was she actually even at the Met?
No.
No. There was.
She wasn't there. What else was there? Selena was going to be there with Benny Blanco. She wasn't there.
Taylor and Selena weren't there. I'm like, they were probably doing some other cool girl shit.
But what do you think about Lana Del Rey and Kim K being bestie? Because Lana Del Rey is one of Taylor's BFFs.
I truly don't think Taylor cares at all. I just think it's weirder on Kim's behalf to like the way that I don't think it's like, you know, it makes sense now that they would have a friendship post, you know, campaign. It's just when you look at the campaign for almost like a couple months straight, the people that Kim was hiring, it was strange. It was weird. I mean, I don't I said it before. There's no one that can convince me otherwise. Like, do I think it's like super malicious or anything? Maybe not, but weird at the very, very least.
Yeah. I sent you, you know, a few weeks ago, I talked about the deaf girl who reads lips and that everyone should follow her Instagram. She did a Met IG about Lana Del Rey and Kim's conversation. If you guys haven't already, I think her name, it's me, Jackie G. Follow her. She's awesome. It was super interesting. And they were talking about Kim talking about being in her sweater. I think it was a wardrobe malfunction. That's why she was in the sweater.
Got it.
That's what I think. Anywho, should we move on to Bravo?
We should. Let's just get Jersey out of the way. I think the deal this week is that... The deal this week is, you know, we're not going to dive into it too much. We will once Vanderpump comes to an end. I would say I just watched the first episode this morning for whatever reason. I know the reason. I put it off. Like, it was like a task, like a chore, because I knew it was just going to be a bunch of ladies yelling. And it wasn't a ton of that yet, but the preview looks like it's going to be more than yelling. It looks like there's going to be some physical stuff. And I guess my big takeaway note about this episode was, why is it so bad that, what's his name? John Fuda used to deal drugs. Like, who didn't, you know?
This is all like, if you're not from Philly, Teresa trying to throw John Fuda under the bus selling drugs. Like, who on the East Coast do you think is going to care about that?
Not me.
Who do you think's gonna be like, oh my god, when he was younger, he used to be the biggest drug dealers? Yeah, that's who we used to date. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Those were the hot guys. That's how you got your, like, give me a break. Everyone was a drug dealer back in the day. No one cares, Teresa. No one cares. And like, agreed, of all people, you are trying to bring up people's dirty laundry. Teresa's so messy. I also don't even care about the double-sided dildo.
No, it was also weird that I don't even know that did Teresa care, because then she looked at Jen Aiden in the car and was like, have you tried? And I was getting the vibe that Teresa had.
Of course. Yeah. Oh my god, it's just the Teresa and Jen, and now us knowing that they've been working with accounts to get all of this dirt, it makes it all feel more produced and more inauthentic. And I've always found Jersey to be one of my favorite because I feel like it's relatable. Mm-hmm. They're always going on there talking about the shore.
Yep.
We have friends. I mean, maybe not everybody who listens to us knows drug dealers or dated drug dealers. Maybe that's just a Philly thing. I don't know. But my point is, it just always felt super familiar. The Italianness of it, the Sunday dinners, it always felt, and this, it's starting to feel like we're all starting to kind of see through the cracks of this show. I also, the one other thing that I didn't like was I always stand Dolores. I always have her back. And I didn't like how Paulie was getting involved in the mess because Dolores wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was odd for me to see him getting involved. I think it's going to be a really interesting season, and I also really liked how Melissa was I don't give a shit about Teresa.
Thank god. I am so happy. I knew that the producers were going to ask her questions about the situation, and I was just crossing my fingers please do not answer, because then it's just gonna do this whole thing again, and I don't have it in me to do a whole another season of the Gorgas versus Teresa.
No.
I just don't have it.
And let's find something else for sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It carried them for a long time, but it's played out at this point.
Agreed.
All right.
So for now, I think we'll keep it at that. And then once VPR is over, I think we'll start jumping into it more now that VPR is over and first episode's usually just kind of setting things up anyway.
All right. Well, Summer House. Okay. So we open the episode with, I thought it would open with Carl and Lindsay still, but it's actually, I do just want to touch on the Paige and Craig picnic. And that conversation, go ahead.
That park is my park.
Oh, love that for us.
Yeah. I was looking park. And I was like, that's Carl Schurz Park. That's my park. It's the park that. Like that's 2 blocks from my house. And also so weird. There's no reason that Paige would be there. I was like, this is annoying. Paige lives like 30 blocks south. Like, no, oh. 60 blocks south. Mm-hmm. There's no way, but I get it.
Okay.
And I also was like, was I there walking through? Because I literally go there for my daily Menti B walks every day. So we love anyhow. Menti B.
Okay, so their picnic and Craig's timeline. So I think it's totally fair that he is some kind of a timeline. And in this moment, it seemed like they, you know, she was sort of seeing that. However, in the after show, when they're talking about it, she... And it's not that I don't disagree with what she was saying in the after show. So what she was basically saying is like, that's nice that he's thinking about it and has a timeline, but it's my body and I will be carrying that child. So thanks. But, you know, I'll worry about the timeline. And it was, it's not that I don't agree with that. It was sort of the tone that for the first time I had a little bit of like, huh. Are they going to make... I've always been so 100% Craig and Paige are going the distance. Like, they will be a Bravo couple that stays together forever. And that was the first time I had a little bit of, like, maybe they won't. Because the way that she's... There was, like, a defensiveness when she was talking about it. And I was like, I don't think that that's how he was saying it. And I also think that his feelings... As much as her feelings are valid and, you know, her take on it, absolutely valid, so are his. Like, as in, okay. If he wants to have kids by 40, that's also his prerogative, whether that's with Paige or not.
This is the problem, and this is why I keep saying, so like, I don't see it for them, because these are the conversations you have when you're gonna spend the rest of your life with someone, and so they're clearly not on the same page. And so if he keeps thinking she's telling him what's going to happen, she's saying this isn't going to, like, they're like tiptoeing around the issue. She's saying it's my body, I don't want it to happen that way. He's like, I want this to happen. And they're not speaking the same language. They're not communicating. It's like, just because you're saying the words out loud, no one's saying, like, I don't want to have a kid by the time, I'm not going to meet your timeline. Say that to him. Say, I'm not going to meet your timeline. And Craig, if that's not good enough for you, then you need to shit or get off the pot. Instead of everyone just tiptoeing around this little thing of, like, are we or aren't we? And I think, like, when I kind of said a was when Carl and Kyle had this conversation, not Carl, Craig and Kyle had this conversation, and he said, you know, if me and Paige don't work out, like, I'm realistic about that. I think it's fun to play house, and like, Paige is doing the house and it down in Charleston, and it's like fun to get all these brand deals together. But I think I just see so many of their real conversations as, and I feel like you probably see this too. Like, when you're with your partner and you know that that's your person, you're having these real conversations. Like, you and Kyle and me, like, you've already had the conversation. Like, we know if we want kids, we know if we don't, we know what we want to do with our money. We know, like, you're having these serious conversations, and there's not really a, like, a gray area.
Yeah. I would like to think that they're maybe, I've convinced myself that they're having, like, more heartfelt, like, conversations behind the scenes that, you know, we're obviously not seeing.
And that's one thing I did want to say too, is like, I do feel like they do have a normal, healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it has the longevity for marriage. And this was the other thing I was going to say about this. Like, I'm over this storyline. This being a storyline now for 2 seasons of whether or not Craig and Paige are going to make it in every scene, or every, like, 3 times a season, we have these, like, sit downs of will they or won't they on both Summer House and then Southern Charmed. Like, I'm over this as a storyline. They're just a regular, normal couple that are either going to get married or they're not. But, like, I don't need to produce scenes in the park where you're having a picnic and you're doing this. It's not that interesting enough for me to see. Like, there's so much more that I'd rather see. No?
Fair. No, I agree. I feel like it's their way of somehow keeping Craig somewhat like in summer, like intertwined with Summer House or something. Yeah. So
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's get to this Carl and Lindsay conversation. I gotta say, I felt for Lindsay. Like, I, you know, we've talked about how, like, she's not always our cup of tea necessarily, but so far, this, other than like those first two episodes, she hasn't bothered me much. And her having that conversation with Carl, you know, Carl saying, like, he wasn't being straightforward with her, and that's just so not fair. Like, if you're gonna bring this up, you need to do it, because, like, now she probably had, like, if I was her sitting there, I think I'd have a little pit in my stomach, and we all know that pit in the stomach, all of us, like, anyone that's dated or been like, specifically that kind of pit is so, like, that agita is just not, you don't want that from the person that you're going to be marrying and that you're living with and building a life with. And the fact that he couldn't give it to her straight, I found that so concerning.
100%. And I think, you know, we came, when the news broke, Carl gets cameras to break up with Lindsay. Carl's the bad guy, team Lindsay. We see the preview of what's going to happen this season, team Carl. The episodes start playing. They're painting Lindsay out to be a little bit of a, you know, crazy girlfriend, team Carl. Now that things are playing out and we're seeing it, I want to say that I'm not a team. Like, Carl has not been transparent. He clearly fears her and also is being a little bit of a puss and not putting on his big boy pants and being honest with her. He withheld so much of that conversation with his mom and stepdad from Lindsay. And when they go to have the conversation after dinner in the summer house, and she's like, but we talked about this. Like, she's calling him out and saying, but we talked about this. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? He was not being forthcoming. He was not being honest. It's like you said, it's giving me so much sympathy for Lindsay. And there was this, when she's talking to Carl and she says, like, Carl, you know, that's why I told you, because he says, like, I told my parents a little bit about the conversation. And she says, like, that's why I kind of told you to, like, maybe not talk to your parents about it. Could you imagine if your partner told their parents about a fight you had? I would kill.
This, as you were talking the whole time, I was like, do not talk yet, because we're really trying not to talk over each other. But I was just like, ready to burst at the seams and be like, you should not, like, I don't want a partner. And I hope that Carl's listening. I would bet, like, no woman or man wants their partner going to their parents every single time you get in an argument. Like, your parents are not, of course they're not going to want us to walk down the aisle. Like, relationships are not always, you know, so easy. Like, they have, you know, there's arguments, and, like, I'm certainly not going to my parents talking about anything like that. Like, the last person I'm going to talk about a fight that I'm having with my partner is a parent. The last.
The fact that he said his mom is his best friend, I wanted to say, Lindsay, red flag. For anyone who dates Carl in the future, or any girl out there that dates a man that says their mom is their red flag, their mom is their best friend, it's a red flag. I'm going to say it. Run away. Yeah. For so many reasons. It's just, anyone who calls their parent a best friend is like, I have a whole sketch written out that I want to do about that, because it's so toxic on so many levels, but we can get into that another day. I think what the scene that showed me on the couch when they're in the apartment is just, you're right, I had a lot of sympathy for Lindsay. One of my favorite scenes that I saw was when Amanda came into the room. It was so awkward when she comes in to talk to Kyle. Kyle and Carl are having this conversation, and Kyle's like trying to have this conversation. It's going nowhere. And then Amanda just sits on the bed. She's like, I'm looking for my shoes. And then she comes in, sits on the bed. And I was like, Amanda, leave. And then she starts talking. And I'm like, Amanda, stay. Now, You know that I had my issues with Amanda in the past, and I have to say, I want to say over the last year, I have become Team Amanda. Amanda in this scene shows the epitome of what it's like to be friends with both people and give really good advice. Mm-hmm. Amanda said, Carl, I'm your friend, and you need to be honest with Lindsay, because Lindsay isn't aware of all of these things that you're telling, and you need to kind of step up. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to be hard, and I know that it's going to be difficult, but you need to step up to the plate and be a good fiance to Lindsay. And I'm being a good friend to you by telling you that you need to step up. And watching Amanda in that scene, I had so many thoughts going through my head. One is, I'm going to say it and we'll jump ahead to that, but what's happening at VPR right now, that would never happen. These two shady little fake See You Next Tuesdays, Sheena and Lala, that would never happen on the cast of Summer House, because I don't know if it's an East Coast thing or what it is, but loyalty is so different. You would never in the million years, even if it was Lindsay, find any of these girls going around being fake, two-faced, saying like, oh, they want to be Beyonce, oh, they had a breakup. If the tables were turned, like, Amanda just showed what a true friend was in that moment by being both a friend to Lindsay and a friend to Carl. And that's all I'm gonna say about VPR too.
Another thought I had while watching Carl, Lindsay on the couch was, I didn't like that she was having to almost play detective. Like, she had to be asking these questions. And I'm like, you shouldn't have to ask these questions. He's bringing this to you. And if he's going to bring it to you, he needs to really bring it to you, like the whole truth. Also, real quick, totally off topic of this, just got the text going off what we were saying. Hailey Bieber is pregnant.
What?
Yeah, Dan just texted us. Live news. So, sorry. Okay, back to...
Oh my God, real-time update.
Yeah, because the only reason I wanted to, like, break and say that is because we literally had just talked about it 5 minutes ago. So,
So, I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That's interesting. Hailey Bieber, hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses.
But yeah, playing detective, you shouldn't have to play detective like that when your partner's coming to you with a conversation that is that serious, that, you know, and ended up changing your entire relationship.
And I think also this is where, to me, in that moment, in this after dinner where they're having the conversation or during dinner, whatever, it made me just, like you said, she's playing detective and he's scared. He's stuttering over his words. He's afraid of what's going to happen. Yeah. It's just so clear they shouldn't have gotten married. And I think in the grand scheme of things, it almost gave me like Katie and Schwartz vibes when they were getting married and all of these red flags were happening leading up to their wedding. And everyone's like, I don't think you guys should get married. I don't think you guys should get married. And they did anyway. I think they all made the right decision. I'm interested to see, because it was said on Watch What Happens Live that like the next five episodes are just going to be Lindsay gunning for Carl.
I think each other.
Right.
I think Andy said each other. Yeah.
Each other. Well, I mean, last week. Yeah. And if I was Lindsay and he was giving breadcrumbing me, he's literally breadcrumbing her as a fiance.
Yeah.
Now, you wrote in this Lindsay shower and Paige not going because she wasn't invited to the wedding. That's the most Italian shit, and I couldn't agree with it more.
I was wondering, so I am not fluent in any of this. So, like,
So
it's just not, I think part of it is that I've been so far away for so long that, like, most of these things that are happening, showers and stuff, like, I can only ever make one, like, I can never do it all at all. Like, I can't do a bachelorette party and a shower. Like, I have to choose one or none, depending.
You lucky bitch.
Yeah.
Lucky bitch.
We have some pros out here. But so I didn't, like, realize that that was a rule. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, I bet this is some sort of Italian thing.
No, also, it would be so weird to invite someone to your shower and not to your wedding. You even only typically invite people to your wedding shower if they're invited to your wedding, because they're giving you a gift at your shower. So yeah, like to okay. give them a wedding gift, I think it's also weirder that she's not invited to the wedding.
Do you think it's still as weird given that they're on a show together and that the shower was being filmed?
I think if I was Paige, I would do the exact same thing. Do not okay. invite me to your shower to get a gift from me if but you're not you even inviting me to your wedding. Yeah, but the wedding's the better part than some stupid shower that, like, we all sit... Like, the shower's the worst part.
Okay.
Like, you sit around with people you don't know, like, your friends, grade school friends that, like, who the hell cares? And they're, like, aunt, and they're, like, you know, their mom's best friends. Like, it's yeah. it sucks. It's okay. you know, it's usually not as nice as Lindsay's. I'm also just so confused that... It's just so weird, too, that they weren't invited because, like, Lindsay and Craig have known each other for a long time. Carl and Craig. It's just whatever. Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter. What else do we have? I want to talk a little bit about Wes and Sierra, and then also, because I know that the goal here is, if anyone's listening, like, of course, someone's listening, is that we want to get to VPR. So we're kind of speeding through Summer House a little bit. But I did, okay, so Wes and Sierra, and then also... The comment that Sierra made to Jesse, did not love the comment that she made to Jesse. And I do kind of, you know what, like she said something like, I wouldn't ever set one of my friends up with you, which is a very, very mean thing to say. And it came out so, I don't know, the way that it was said made me think that it had more to do with West than it had to do with Jesse. Because they hang out all the time. And I felt like there was a little projecting going on.
I think it had to do with her own insecurities of being fucked. Like, I think but she looked
about
at,
Wes. Maybe. Or just in general. Okay.
I just think, like, for her, she thinks that he's probably, that Jesse's probably an F boy. Mm-hmm. And I also think, like,
what is so wrong with that if he hasn't found the person? Like, okay. you know,
let's,
like
let's paint this picture.
Okay.
Me and you are in our 30s. Mm-hmm. No, you're in your 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 40s. Sorry. If I was 27, like, or 27 or 28, like Sierra is, and I'm talking to a guy who's telling me that he's going out on dates every night and he's sleeping with girls every week, and I'm trying to be in a relationship and I'm still getting, like, I'm still figuring myself out, I would probably make a comment like that. But it's coming from a place of insecurity. As a 40-year-old woman looking at a 27, 28-year-old man who's doing those things and who's very open about that, he's not trying to sneak anything from anyone. He's being very clear. I hope he's being as clear to the women. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But from Sierra's point of view, she's dated a million Jessies. So, like, so this is not probably about triggering for her.
Yeah.
I think it's triggering for her. And so she's just trying to, like, get her digs in. Like, for me and you, we're like, yeah, okay, we've also dated a Jessie too. And, like, I don't know if I would want Jessie to be my boyfriend.
But the thing is, too, is, like, weren't we all kind of fucking around until we found our person? Like, I had, you know, a little bit of a Rolodex before I met Kyle. And Jesse says, if I find that, like, I'm ready to meet that person, it just hasn't, I wasn't, you know, aggressively looking for Kyle. It was like, we met. And when Jesse said that, I was like, I know what he's looking for. It's like, when I met Kyle, everyone was immediately off the list. Like, 100%. It was just a no-brainer. No one up until that point had made me think that. So
I think it's easy for, I don't think Sierra's coming from a place of walls up. Yeah. This is her talking with her walls up, you know?
She's projecting. So I think that maybe
with
I'm
men?
Like, no, I've been the fuck boy.
I have one instance that I want to say, but okay.
Walls up though?
Yeah, maybe not walls up.
Yeah.
I think I could relate to Sierra in a sense of being like at that age, I could relate to her being like, I would never hook. Like, she's coming from a place of being like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I think it's nasty, like, as a grown woman, but yeah. I see it as just, like, an insecurity thing that she said. I really love Jesse.
I like Jesse, too. I love him
so much.
Do we know the, like, results of his cancer thing? Like, I hope that he's in the clear.
I don't know. When she said she would never hook her friends up with him, I was like, I would hook my friends up with him.
Same.
In a heartbeat.
Same.
He seems great. Seems great.
I was like, I have a cousin that I think it would go really well.
Oh my God. They would be right? So cute so together. Cute.
Okay. Anyway. Oh. Well, that. Yeah. So, you know, we end with the conversation that Carl and Lindsay have again on a couch, but this time in the Hamptons. She's wearing that really pretty orange dress. And I guess, so it looks like tonight we'll pick up on that conversation. So I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week.
Yeah. The next few weeks are going to be wild. I'm interested to see.
Two back-to-back episodes with fourth wall breaks. It was Summer House and then
I loved it.
I know.
Loved it.
Which is funny because weren't we just, I think it was last episode. I said, I was like, Bravo's going to need to get a little more comfortable with the fourth wall breaks because we're smart. We are a smart audience. So
Carl did it to a level that I feel like he like pointed, they turned to the cameras.
Yeah.
I also feel like Carl's using it as a cop out. And like if the cameras weren't there, would he have had the real conversation with Lindsay? Carl.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, well, let's get into VPR. Look.
All right, should we take a few hot yoga breaths first? One in, one out.
Have you ever done
yoga? One in, one out. Yeah, like a few times.
Okay.
Same amount of times I've meditated.
I was like, I'm trying to picture you just being relaxed in a vinyasa.
I can do a downward dog.
Oh my God, look at you.
Okay, this is, okay. When you watched the VPR finale, were you yelling at your TV?
So, you know what's so crazy? I needed to see it so bad that I went and got, I did YouTube TV just for the night, like did like a trial because I was like, I literally can't get online. Like I need to watch.
Oh my
and
God.
Then like you were texting me. Yeah. So I ended up just like getting YouTube TV and watching it live here, which was such a treat. And
oh good.
Yeah, I was yelling at my TV so many times. I was like and then at the end I felt better that a lot of the things that us and other commentators have been saying, kind of like Katie said, Ariana said, like it felt like there was a veil really lifted that I appreciated towards the end.
Yeah. It's so true.
Where do you want to start?
Jesus God.
Okay, I do want to.
Honestly, No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say the hotel they're staying at is my friends got married there. I like didn't put it together last week. Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's
what's
cute.
The name of it?
The Argonaut.
Oh, cool! And they all had that merch on from the Argonaut.
That was actually we'll talk about that. That was actually okay. Kyle and I's first wedding together. It was the couple that hooked us up. But the merch thing.
Oh my God. Ding, ding, ding.
I know. Ding, ding, ding. Schwartz. So Schwartz talked about it on the Biofiles, the merch thing or the clothing. And he was like, yeah, we can't, like everything has to, all the labels have to be approved. And so when I was watching this episode and last, I'm like, wow, they really went all in on the San Francisco and hotel merch. And then I was like, oh, duh, that's why, because they can film it. And it's like, obviously it's going to be okay with like the city of San Francisco and the hotel.
Yeah. I wonder if they like had their designer, whatever underneath and then just put the sweatshirt on over top. Yeah.
But anyway.
So that place they went to lunch, I'm reading your notes and you said it's a, what's it called? Nanking.
And I would pass it every day on the way to work on Saturdays. It's in Chinatown. Always a line. Never been.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wait, so I have a question because Meek asked, is the Chinatown in San Francisco different from Chinatown other places? Like, is it special?
Probably just because we have such a large Asian culture here. So I would say probably in that way, it's just like there's, it's probably a lot more authentic than most just because we have so many Chinese people here. Like if you walk around, like more than half the schools for like elementary schools, like you'll see like they're all like Chinese immersion schools.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I had said. That's what, that was my theory. That lunch was weird.
That was
really weird. How do you want to start with?
Yeah.
With Brock or with Lala?
Let's start with Brock.
Okay, good. Cause
Lala's going to take a little more calm. Energy. Yeah. She's going to take too much out of us. So I could see it happening. Okay. So this whole, before we even get to lunch, Brock and Sheena are in their hotel room talking about like our, like kind of just like deciding together, like who they're going to pick, like Ariana or Sandoval, and Brock shading Ariana and really gunning for Sandoval. First of all, you have not been around long enough to have such strong opinions about this. And the way that he continues to shade Ariana, I'm finding a little weird. Like, what is going on there?
But the reason you're finding it weird is because you're saying to yourself, why is Sheena allowing her husband to talk about one of her really good friends like this? Because let me tell you one thing our people would not do. My husband would never in a million years talk about the equivalent of my Ariana to Sheena the way that Brock so casually talks openly as like disrespectfully about her. Yeah. That's what you're finding weird. It's like, why is he allowed to talk so shadily about Ariana to Sheena? Why is it so open?
But also, what has Ariana even done to Brock to make him feel so negative about her?
Right. But is it because I think the story that Sheena is telling folks is that if I befriend Sandoval, then Ariana won't be friends with me. And so Sheena's really struggling with this decision of what to do on whether or not to be friends with Sandoval, who's been such a good friend to her in the past. Like, has Sandoval been a good friend to you, or is he just your party friend? The only time when you talk about Sandoval being a good friend to you, all I've heard is when he's doing things for you, when he's doing things for you monetarily. When has he showed up for you in a time of need or a time of like all you're talking about is how he's paid for things. Even this episode, like, you know, he flew his sound guy all the way here and paid for it. So that is an equivalent of a good friend to you. And to Katie's point at lunch, thank God Katie
is here.
Like Katie putting stupid meathead Brock, like, shut up, Brock.
When Katie, she looked at him and said, I'm not the fucking one, I felt that. I was like, she is not the one, sir.
No, sir. And try it. I don't want Katie to hold back anymore because I feel her holding back a little and trying not to, like, get the reputation of being, like, the crazy bitch girl. I don't give a shit. Be the crazy bitch girl and still get your point across because Brock needs to be put in his place. This man...
Because... The other thing, too, is in, like, we're just talking about Summer House and Carl and Lindsay. That is, and how we're not choosing sides, that is a nuanced situation. As Katie said in this one, not nuanced. When the guy fucks over your friend, fuck the guy. Like,
did you think of any situation? Like, could you think of any situation? Like, we had had circles of friends where we were so close. Like, every single one of my friends, I was in a relationship with someone for almost 7 years. All of my friends were really close with that boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They had grown up with him in the neighborhood. When we broke up, it was like, it's not about picking a side, but like, you don't need to be friends with him. There's no reason that you need to continue this friendship. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even do anything terrible to me. Mm-hmm. But like, what's your MO? Why do you need, I don't want him to know what I'm doing with my life. And again, there wasn't anything bad to happen. Why does that need to be explained to anyone?
And the point when I said earlier in the episode when we were starting out that I like talking about VPR is that what I liked about towards throughout this episode is that things that we have said have been brought up. And one of them, when Katie said, it's not he fucked up and did a thing. It was that he made choices day in and day out. Like truly, he looked people in the eye and kept going to bed at night under the same roof of the girlfriend that you were cheating on. And I know the internet's like, they weren't in a good place. They weren't in a good place, but it is nuanced, and it's a special kind of trauma to have the person that you're in this like long-term relationship with to not just do. It's not like, you know, he went out, things got weird. He had a one night stand. And even if it wasn't, or even if it was like with a close friend, you know, that makes it definitely harder. It wasn't like he and Rachel had hooked up once and woke up and were like, oh fuck, like shit. It was all the other stuff. It's just.
Yes. He dressed up as her for Halloween in front of Ariana. Yeah. He was giving her presents in front of Ariana. When Ariana's grandmother died, he was sleeping with her in their home, regardless of in their bad place.
That's what I want someone to yell. Like, that's what I want someone to say. Like, I wish in that moment Katie would have said that, exactly what you just said. And I would have loved to see the look on everyone's faces. And they, like, because how... In anyone's right mind, could they think that that's appropriate behavior?
To still be friends with this person.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was sitting there watching Amanda in the room with Carl and also saying, Carl, you should do this for Lindsay. I just thought, like, I don't know what goes on in LA, or I don't even want to stereotype LA, but, like, these fake girls, Sheena, why do you need to be friends with him? He's... like, the show. What are you actually fighting for? So you're just fighting for the show that you would throw all your friends under the bus and give up one of your best friends and literally put your friendship. I think it's insane that she wouldn't understand that the friendship would be at stake.
And I think what she's holding on to is, and I've been picking up on this a little bit through different interviews after shows. Brock made a comment about, you know, Ariana not like texting right away, like texting her back right away and being a little bit more unavailable. But it's like, this girl has a lot. She's opening a business. She's on Broadway, Dancing with the Stars. Like, I know that, you know, some of this was before that, but there were things I'm sure happening behind the scenes before she actually landed these gigs that she was busy doing. And also,
if you just filmed with this person after this season and they're saying these things to you, I would want to create some distance.
Yeah.
I would absolutely create some distance, and not busy or not. And I would be like, you know what? I don't know. If you want to have so much of a relationship with this person, I need to think about if I want, like in every, when you have any breakup after a long-term relationship, you lose friends. Mm-hmm. I lost one of my best friends after my 6-year relationship for all the shadiest reasons. And it's just what happens. Friends go their different ways. You lose friends. It's what happens. And so that's going to happen to Ariana. And it's better she figures it out now than later. And if anything, it's made her and Katie become stronger. Katie is the epitome of loyalty. So follow the people that are loyal to you. And that's all you need. Screw this other BS.
And it's like, of course she's going to be a little trepidatious, because every single time she sees you, or maybe not every, but often, you want to talk about Sandoval, and like, she is not the one. Like, talk to any of your other friends about this. Do not talk to Ariana about this.
Gina.
I don't know why she doesn't get that. Like, why does she think Ariana's the one to discuss this with? I find that to be really strange.
I find it strange that she thinks it's acceptable. Like,
yeah.
And that as any friend,
understand why her would side.
And what is the point of your side? You really want to be friends with Tom Sandoval that bad. You're not going to be friends with Tom Sandoval once he gets a new girlfriend. You're not going to be invited to Tom Sandoval's wedding. Tom Sandoval's not going to call you if something happens. And if there's an emergency in your life, Tom Sandoval's not going to be there. Sorry, it is what it is. He'll continue to disappoint you. Ariana will continue to remind you of that, but that's also a joke. The fact that you don't have your friends back, It's just, it's literally, I was listening to the Spice Girls today, and let me tell you.
Were you?
What the heck happened to girl power? Yes!
I loved that. It. Okay, good.
I loved it too.
Just like walking around your park, listening to Spice Girls?
No, I had it on my Alexa.
I love that. Okay. Well, this, yeah, so this lunch was so, like, the tension was so palpable. I could literally feel it through my TV. I was like, let me smoke some weed. The conversation, let's get into Lala now. Lala's interrogation. I don't mind that she's asking questions. It's that I don't like that she's disguising it as, like, she's looking out for Ariana. Because you're not. Like, you are not doing that in any other way. So why now? Why here? Why now? What? You're making me nervous.
This bitch.
Okay. Okay.
Lala, your hate is showing. Yeah. Your jealousy and envy. Ariana has probably everything that Lala wants. You think Lala doesn't want a life partner?
Yeah.
You don't think that she has brought up, I think I might have said this last week, or maybe I've been saying it in my head so many times. This is now the third time she brought up how many days it's been since since Ariana broke up with someone and had a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Who cares? How does that affect you? Why, you're exactly. You haven't made it that you care about anything that's happening to Ariana, but now you're like, stop disguising. Exactly. Why are you disguising this as protection when it feels like she's just trying to get dirt to use against Ariana sometime down the line?
Especially because it's not like Dan came in and was, you know, eager to be on the show. I think that if that were the case, it would require a little bit more of like a little side eye, but he hasn't. And Ariana has expressed that like Dan is not super keen on filming and that, you know, moving forward with filming, we probably won't see him again. Like this was probably it for him. So it's not like he's out here for like the fame of it all. I actually think that's probably where his holdup is about. If there is any holdup, I would guess.
And it's true. After you're having that conversation with Lala, you're probably thinking, like, I don't want to be around these, like, fake-ass, phony, setting up, like, oh, what did you do for this? Oh, when's your last relationship? Oh, it's just,
And I will say I appreciate it more. This is just actually a Amanda Page, and this is a Girls Girls podcast. We like the girls, most of them. But I was going to say Katie Stan account. But Katie really is like, she is such a queen this season. I think she might be the MVP of the season. But when they're sitting in the hotel room and it's her and Lala, and Lala's like trying to like, you know, like when, you know, we've all been in this position where like someone's trying to gas you up a little bit to spill some shit. And
100%.
Lala was doing that and Katie's just like, no, I think he's actually like the nicest person. I was like, but this is what Lala said. She didn't fall into this little trap. Although I'm sure she knows like Lala's traps pretty well by now.
But also Lala said he's fought people and he knows what to do. I just think he's a chump, or like that makes him what? Like, I think, what did she say? That he's soft, that he's square. Something that,
she called him
that
a square.
He's a square. A square, which is the exact opposite of what you just said.
That's what I was thinking, actually, too. I was like, maybe I don't know the definition of a square.
A square is literally like a prude, someone who doesn't like get into fights.
And he also addressed this. You're just being such. He, in the longer, in the extended version, he like brings it up, kind of. And I'm not sure where they're at when he says this. Dan addresses the fighting thing, like what Ariana, you know, I could see like Ariana was probably like in defense mode, like fuck Sandoval, you know, when Lala was talking to her about it and was like, he'll, you know, kick his ass, that kind of thing. And I think what Dan had sort of touched on is that like some of the fighting stuff that Ariana might have been talking about was stuff that he had to do like in his childhood because he of like kind of racist shit. But
yeah, and also not who cares about racist shit, but like, who the fuck cares if you're fighting people? Lala, you act like you could fight people. And yeah. I also would love to find you in a corner of an alley and actually see if all these words that come out of your mouth can actually stand up for themselves. Because we've all, if you're from Philly, you fought people.
Not me.
I'll fight people. Really?
No, never.
God, me in a fight.
No, actually, a boy once. I punched him really. I got him.
Good.
Straddled him. Got him, made his nose bleed. Yeah. He called me a lot of bad names.
Good.
A lot of bad names.
A nosebleed is a fight. A nosebleed is a fight.
That was the only. But this is what I'm saying. After he said it. Like, yeah.
But this is
what I mean. We don't condone fighting, by the way.
No, we don't. We don't condone fighting. The other thing is, like, everything Lala goes for, she's always like, I like these hard guys. Like, I like these guys that are doing this. I like the, like, all she talks about, and she talks so much with her mouth and says, you better watch yourself and you better do this. And now this guy might stick up for his girlfriend. He's definitely not going to fight Sandoval because he's 40.
Yeah.
But now you're saying that he's a square. You hypocrite. Yeah. Can't even, she... on my shit list.
She is. She's on a lot of people's shit list. And the shit that she's saying on her podcast, telling us that we're all foaming at the mouth and that we all need to get our rabies shots. Girl.
Where's yours? Because you've been had rabies.
Yeah.
You've been at it.
Actually, all literally season. Since she's been on the
foaming
show.
Foaming at the mouth. Foaming at the mouth.
That's what
she
said.
Is the epitome of foaming at the mouth.
Did you see that though?
No, I don't give her podcast any light of day on my phone.
You're beat it. Better than me. All right, well,
beat it.
I guess let's go to the gold party, shall we?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, I yelled so much. I think we need to shout out Brock, who they immediately turn to and do this weird little. He's doing this like weird little dance thing. He's such a strange little man. Yeah.
Okay. So the first time I yelled at my screen, I would say I was like so like still and frozen during the lunch scene that I was just like, I wasn't screaming. But then the gold party, when Schwartz brings Joe over to Katie, I was like, why? You guys are in a good place right now. And also, why is Joe even there? I know I've asked this the last 3 weeks. I don't know.
Why was Joe even there?
Something tells me that there was a lot more filmed with her this season. And that's why she ended up there. That was on the chopping block and wasn't used. But this scene made me, I was like out of my chair. Like, Schwartz, what are you doing? Why? Like, Katie does not need to be friends with her. She does not need to make peace with her. Like, no girl wants to be friends with the girl that like sent a text after I got divorced and then you move in with my partner of 12 years weeks after. No thank you, ma'am.
And the way that they're trying to make this that like Katie some B for, they're also not saying that Katie and Joe were in a similar circle of friends. Mm-hmm. Joe used to be Kristen Doty's best friend. They all know each other, which is why Joe even sent the text to Katie to begin with. Mm-hmm. If you brought over a girl that started hooking up with my ex-husband immediately after we broke up, and then wanted me to be friends with her. Then Joe starts crying and like she's supposed to be the victim and we're supposed to call this bullying. Like we're reaching. We are reaching.
Not to mention, Katie has said that, you know, getting divorced wasn't because she wasn't in love or
in love
Tom anymore. It was because she was like really found her self-worth and felt like it wasn't being honored and she had to do the hard thing and walk away. And I think that makes it a divorce.
That sounds awful.
That sounds awful. And so for someone to come in and treat the relationship like it was nothing is not, it's just like really cruel. And I hate that Schwartz couldn't, I don't know where he's at with it, see that.
And the funniest thing is that Katie says, I told you to keep your shit away from me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be friends with you and we can try to remain respectful, but just keep it away from me. And again, for a woman who's divorced and she's still being so, she's still trying to maintain a friendship with him. She's just asking for a little respect and to keep it away. I don't really have sympathy for Joe in this situation.
No,
and then when she starts crying, I'm like, Joe, come on. And then, girl, you have to know.
Her asking for an apology from Katie, I was like, that's a little bit.
Calling her a crackhead? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think she ends up getting one at the reunion. But yeah, I just was like, Schwartz, come on, man. Like, do better. Just do better. Sometimes I know that, like, recently we've been enjoying the scenes of Katie and Tom. I don't think Tom deserves her friendship, though. And I would not be upset to see her completely just, you know, cut ties. Like, if they don't come back for filming, I think it would be probably in her, for her, like, for her, protecting her own energy. To just not keep him around, because it's like he takes, you know, a few steps forward and then so many back when he tries to do this, like, let's just all be friends thing. And it's just like, that's,
he's so not self-aware. It's so evident.
So, all right. Well, what else at this gold party? The Sand.
Oh my gosh. Sheena's performance. Like, I don't need to hear another song from Sheena Shea. I don't want to see another performance. I don't want to see her draped in gold. I don't want to see her backing tracks with her lip sync and her, you know, her, I do not. I need a break from Sheena.
I need have a hot take that you're not gonna love. But
no, I don't really want to hear it.
Okay, well, let me finish. I did not hate this performance as much as I've hated all of the others, but I will say the thing I loved most about this performance,
that's what you love most.
No, seeing the girls, specifically Ariana and Katie, singing her lyrics, supporting her, and the juxtaposition of that scene with what Lala and Sheena have to say about Katie and Ariana. I was like, not only are they up here dancing for you, they know the words to your song. Like, that's supportive.
But that's what pisses me off more, because then these two B's are like, Lala and Katie are doing everything while these two shady bees are just doing anything in their power at any moment, the second they're given the opportunity to talk-ish.
Yeah.
Cut them out. Then we get into, okay, wait, we have to talk about Tom Sandoval walking over to say hi to Dan. Me and my husband shared the same pillow to put over our eyes because I could not watch it. It was so cringe.
Did you see Allie? Allie's just like sitting there like, what's happening? Well,
I would have loved to have been Allie. I would have just been like smiling, loving to be Allie. Like,
thrown up.
I loved I couldn't watch it though on TV. And she just had her phone down like, well, yeah, nice to meet you, man. And he's just staring. You're like, okay, cool.
I like that Dan wasn't
shake his hand.
I like that he didn't shake his hand, but wasn't like so overly douchey about it.
Yeah.
He was just like, okay, man. I thought he didn't give me that vibe.
I didn't get the vibe that he would, because he's a grown ass man.
Yeah.
And like Lala's like, he's a square. Lala. Okay, so I guess I feel like we need to get into the Ariana conversation and then the grand finale.
Okay, so going off of what I said about, you know, the Ariana and Katie starting to say some things that we've been saying, Ariana saying to Sheena, please do not come talk to me about him anymore. It's that simple.
Why does that? What would you do if you were in Ariana's shoes and your friend of however many years is coming to talk to you about being friends with your ex who cheated on you and had an affair with months and months right under your nose? Like, Sheena would be cut out of my life. Sheena would have been cut out of my life already.
I was
going
to say, I think it would have already been. I've cut out
people for less.
I am not one to, like, very easily cut anyone out. Like, we've talked about before, like, I'm pretty forgiving, whatever. Like, no, I try not to let too much bother me, but this specific, like, as you were just asking me, like, what I would do if I were Ariana, I really was thinking about it. And I would have had this conversation so much sooner. Like, you, like, and I would have really painted the picture, like, it's not just the cheating, it's all of the other stuff that was, like, that the choices that they were making throughout that 7 month span. But also, like, I am not the one to, why, I think I would really have to ask, like, why do you feel, like, what is happening in your brain that you think that I'm the person that you should be having these conversations with? Like, what is it about coming to me that, it, like, what does this do for you? Why do you want to talk to me about this? Like, you have friends, you have a family, you have a husband. There are so many other people to have this conversation with. I do not want to hear any sympathy, empathy about the person who really fucking traumatized me. I don't.
You know why she's going to Ariana? She's going to Ariana for an
hour. For the audience?
Tell me it's okay that I can be friends with Sandoval. Tell me it's okay. Because if you don't tell me it's okay, then the audience isn't going to accept me letting Tom Sandoval in. And then they're going to come for me too. And I'm going to be unlike to the audience. So I need your approval before. And she basically said, like, I'm not going to give you my approval. But, like, oh, here's this arc of, like, me saying all of the, like, not this arc. Here's this montage of me saying all the times I didn't say I was going to be friends with you if you were Tom Sandoval's friend. But maybe I changed my mind a little bit because it's a few months later. God forbid. I can change my mind.
We need to talk to the producers. Like, what is going on over there? Did they fire, like, every female that works at Bravo?
It's just ridiculous. Like, she's not allowed to change her mind. Like, and again, this was August. This was filmed. So less than 6 months still.
I do want to circle back to the audience comment that you just made. That's something that we need to also really be, that's like another player in this whole thing. It's like us, the audience. And
especially to Sheena.
I was just going to say, especially to Sheena. And Lala had even said in the after show, like, she, her publicist, her friends, her mom sends her all of the, like, all the articles and the comments. And Sheena, like, will sit there and scroll and get into them and is, like, really affected by them. As Ariana, that would actually even give me more trepidation to go forward with the friendship, because it's like, I know, because we've had this, like, this long friendship, how you feel about the audience and how much you care what they think. Are you only being friends with me because, you know, it's kind of like being on the right side ding, of ding. History right now? I would, that ding, would give ding. Me like
100%. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you, but of course that's why.
Yeah.
Of course that's why, because Sheena is an opportunist. When she talked about the things that, when she said, Tom Sandoval, I saw a change in him tonight. She saw a change in him. And when she talked about the change, it was about that he brought his sound technician. Mm-hmm. He paid for money for her. When she talked about Tom Sandoval before, it was because he gave her money during COVID. Mm-hmm. Has Tom Sandoval ever showed up for you other than financially? As a friend, I want to know that. Talk to me about facts of how he's actually been a friend to you. Do you call him when you have a problem?
Also, the way that she was really, I felt like she exaggerated the conversation she had with Sandoval to Ariana, like, big time. I was like, either they cut the entire goddamn conversation or we had two different, like, experiences with this, because it this was is like not adding
Tweedledee
up.
And Tweedledee and Tweedledum having a, do you care about me? Yeah, I care about you. Well, but you better act like it. Okay.
But I'm talking about the conversation when she was talking to Ariana. She's like, I really, like, I saw it in him. Like, he was like, oh, like, about the mental health stuff and how he should apologize. Oh, right. And she was like, I feel like I really got to him. And, like, he was like, oh, yeah, like, I do need to go home and think about that and whatever. And I was like, that's not what we saw. But maybe we didn't see it all.
And I don't think for 1 second Tom went home and thought about it.
Thought about it. And we know that because the way that the show ends.
Right. And so then Ariana walks off. Sheena opens her mouth and says, Ariana doesn't want to talk to you. She says that, you know, you're not a good friend to me for these reasons and that I shouldn't take you, that you're genuine. Again, immediately throwing her friend under the bus, like things you didn't need to say. Yeah. This is when things pop off. Sandoval goes over, Ariana's talking to production and says, we get to her in a confessional and she says, I will not be a cog in the machine that is Tom Sandoval's redemption arc. Mm-hmm. Mike drop.
I do.
And it all comes together for all of us. Like, oh my, like that's when it started coming together for me. Like, oh my God, that's this final scene. If she would have talked to Sandoval, they're hyping, mm-hmm. producers are hyping up Sandoval. Mm-hmm. Get a conversation with Ariana. Get a conversation mm-hmm. with Ariana. If we could get it at the end, we'll have a season promised. And she basically was like, I will not play into us bringing him up after everything that she did for, after everything he did for me. Good for her.
When she dropped the non-informed
consent?
Jeremiah's face, the producer was like, how do you even come back?
Respond to that.
Like, you just have to let
it
don't. Go.
Sorry,
you
sir.
Just don't. Yeah.
Like, don't leave like this. Why? What does she have to stay there for? She's going to frickin' Broadway. She needs to stay there. And then Tom Sandoval, after he just said he was so worried about Ariana's mental health and he wanted to apologize, this is when the true colors come out.
Well,
he comes back to the group.
Okay, I was going to say, is this when we're about to break the fourth wall?
100%. So he comes back. Fourth wall is being broken. Producers are talking to Ariana. Fourth wall is being broken. Tom Sandoval comes in and goes, he didn't like any of you anyway. And they're like, what are you talking about? She didn't like you.
He also backtracked that statement on Watch What Happens Live. You fucking liar.
I saw that. Okay. Yeah. But did he backtracked it because he probably was getting hate, whatever. I also think like maybe Ariana didn't want to spend all of her time with these people because mm-hmm. she has real friends who love and support her. It's so clear that these people have not done that.
Really think that we can't ignore that Ariana has bad anxiety and she's a homebody.
Yes.
For the most part.
And you're asking her to be put on camera in fake situations. Yeah.
We can't just like...
Yeah, I had to do all the work. It's like, yeah, okay, we know. And you had to buy batteries and paper towels
also,
and you had to perform in front of the camera.
You love to perform. So like...
Right. And now we all know that that's what you've been doing.
But you can't hold it against Ariana for being a little bit more of like... Oh, that like...
Ariana homebody.
Yeah, like that she's a little bit more of a homebody and that you love to be the outgoing one and like the most lively of the group. That's not like that's what you enjoy doing that. So don't turn 100%. It like you had to do it. Like it was
but
so
that's
grueling.
Tom. But that's Tom Sandoval. This is how he plays the victim in these situations. Like, I did this for us. He tells the same story.
That.
Exactly. Then we get in to Ariana leaves.
Oh.
Good for her. Lala says, I hate to break the fourth wall, but I'm going to break the fourth wall. And just proceeds to then just talk all this shit. In all the previews, we have seen this scene of Lala saying, Ariana, I've never seen someone go through a breakup and act like it's Beyonce. And she told us it doesn't come off how it seems. You'll see. Just watch the season. That's not how I'm saying it. No, girl, that's exactly how what you were saying. You're such a hater. Why is she so obsessed who Ariana lives with? Is she so obsessed?
It also raises a lot of questions for Andy Cohen. Because what the hell were you talking about when you said it was all going to make sense and that Brock and Lala are the voice of reason? Like, I've already talked about this before. I tend to really disagree with Andy Cohen. But now everything he says moving forward carries no weight with me.
No weight. Because is he really saying she's the voice of reason? Because he's saying that she didn't want to show up and shoot or that she didn't want to, oh, she's being, what did she, the things that were coming out of her mouth.
And also,
and then Sheena trying to say, like, I don't disagree with you. I don't, like, this is Sheena trying to stay safe. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Then Lala walks off and says, and I didn't want to lose it. Lala, you have been begging for this moment. You've been dying to pretend for there to be a situation where you could blow up and put all of your haterade out on national television. You look so pathetic. You look so pathetic. You look like such a hater.
I honestly think that this was her plan from episode one.
100%.
I think she knew at the finale she was gonna lose it. And like
do and the then whole pretend like she didn't.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, like with all of this now, with the VPR stuff, between her and Sheena, they just feel so calculated. And she comes on, like at the end, they're like they have this whole montage of Lala being like, "Oh, we always had our most authentic life," and blah blah blah. Lala, you didn't talk about Randall for the first 3 years while you were having an affair. Then he came on for 2 seasons, and now let's cut to when Tom Schwartz played pickleball with him and you lost your ever living mind. She barely put up boundaries. She barely put up boundaries and expected her friends to respect them with like this much boundary. She asked her friends to respect them for doing, he did awful things to her.
And you know, they want to, it's supposed to be reality. Ariana's reality is not talking to Tom. So it would be more produced just if like, she was talking to Tom, which is like, I saw that online. That was like not my original thought, but I was like, oh my God. Yeah. And also like, as you were just saying the Randall stuff, did they ever actually even dig into that stuff? Like all of the rumors?
No, because it's in the courts, so we can't talk about it. We can't talk about the rumors, and we can't talk about the Nashville girl that we saw on all the page sixes of the world. We can't talk about it.
I'm saying even before that, like when Randall actually did show up for the show a little bit, we never actually got into the like beginning. Like she wasn't pressed by the interview, like by the production or the other cast members about, okay, like now he's on the show, so let's talk about how we really got here. There wasn't, like, I haven't watched in kind of a while, so I'm like trying, there wasn't that though, right?
No, and I think the thing that, I think it's so hard for us, it's like Lala just wants to be where the drama is. Last year, she came so hard to Ariana's side to stick up for Tom Sandoval. Like, I'm triggered. You're triggering me because I know what it's like when men do this. Now you're going so hard against her because you're triggered that she's living under the same roof and she's using the same words about being traumatized and this and that. Pick a side, girl. Mm-hmm. Pick a side. You are the most unauthentic chick that, like, where's your truth at? You're fake as hell.
So this brings us to, you know, I know people are saying like this isn't the last season, and like I still hold that maybe they'll do one more to close it out. Although we've said it already, like I am fine if this is the end. Like 100%. I'm good with that. And I kind of feel like if they'd come back, I don't think Katie would come back. I think that she would kind of move away from it. Obviously, Lala and Sheena would. Nope, obviously. The Toms, for sure. But I think James, honestly, might be too busy by that point. Like, if they do pick up filming, all that guy does is, like, tour. Good. I feel like every time I see him, there's, like, a new flyer or a new festival or something. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm exhausted. Thank God you live by the airport. But I saw a comment about the girls, like Lala and Sheena, going to the Valley. And there was like something that came out yesterday and it said, Lala in early talks. And I commented on something. I was like, LOL at the early talks. Like, please, these conversations have been going on. But the comment that I'm referencing, it said something like, please don't bring them on there because they know how to play the game too well. And it's nice watching majority of the cast not know how to play the game.
Yeah, because you watch, you're like, okay, Kristen and Jax, we know this ain't your first rodeo.
Yes, but for the most part, the rest don't. I mean, know how to play the game. And it's nice to see that.
Yeah. I need a break. I think the break from filming is good. I think we need a break from the scandal of it all. Yeah. I definitely need a break from Lala and Sheena. I hope Lala continues on her healing journey. It's working. I hope she does really some reflection on what it means to be a friend to people and not to the people that when she chooses to be in their life. And
that's it.
I'm excited for the reunion. I'm excited for the reunion. We'll be back. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.
I forgot to mention, fucking Schwartz was at my work the other night, and I wasn't there. Oh. I missed it, but I heard he left $30 on, like, $100-something tab, so that's fine. That's, like, more than... That's normal, yeah. I mean, I guess it's, like, 30% is nice, but you own a bar, and you're, like, kind of famous, and you brought a bunch of... So my friend texted me and was like, yeah, all these marina... She was like, all these marina girls were here, and I literally wanted to ask them, like, are you lost? Because it's like, it's a punk bar. Like, how did they find it? And now I'm concerned that now they found it. I'm like, please don't come again. Are they going to find it again? No, they can't.
This is how it happens.
No, I don't want them to find it again. They cannot find it
again. This is how it always happens.
No, stay away. Stay away.
Ooh.
But she did say... She like is so not into pop culture at all. Like even when I showed her a picture, she's like, oh yeah, I guess that's him. And she said all the girls were like all over him. But she was like, some girl.
How old were they?
Came probably like early 20s. And she said young. And she said she was outside smoking a cigarette. And when I'm telling you, this is not the one to fuck with when she's on her cigarette break. I'm saying she is not the fucking one. And they came out put a hand on her shoulder, and she like kind of walked away and then put two hands, was like, do you know who's in there right now? And she was like, I literally don't give a fuck. But she was so annoyed. She was like, I literally just wanted to like do a last call and close the town. But yeah, so Schwartz is at work. I missed it though.
Imagine. I would have got out of bed for that. Been like, remember our shots last year? Yeah. Anywho, okay, cool. We'll be back. We're covering all the good stuff. Next week, we'll see the reunion. I can't wait to trash these. Not trash them, but I cannot wait to see the trash that comes out of the reunion. Oh. I don't want to forget my Instagram follows. Oh, yes. Grandma Doniak, she fell and slipped. Follow her, support her. We love her. Also, my new favorite is, I know, it's really sad. She's like giving her journey. It's really sweet. Maddie DeVita, if you don't follow her, she's a personal chef in New York City, and you get to follow all the things that she makes for her families that she works for. It's really interesting. We love you guys, friends. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Bonded by Bravo. If you don't already follow us on Apple and Spotify podcasts at Bonded by Bravo Pod and on Instagram and TikTok at Bonded by Bravo. We also are putting our YouTube clips up there. So we do have a YouTube page. If you don't already follow us there. We'll be back, friends, with an all new episode next Friday. Until then.
Bye.